The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand.
Good morning, good afternoon, depending on whether you're listening to me on the podcast, The Dyslexic Detective with Ben Vigen, or you're listening to me care of Fresh FM, the greatest radio station in the South Island and quite possibly the known universe. G'day. Okay, so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about part two of Freedom. So in the last section of the radio show I did on Freedom, I took you through the history and origins of the word liberty from the Roman Empire periods into the birth of the new American Republic, full of its Tories, its guns, its flag waving. And from that, we then took you through to the end of the Cold War, where all of these brands, such as Radio Free Europe, sprung up, linking in again to things like the Cato Institution, which ultimately the sugar daddies around this about time pop up start to be the Koch brothers. So the Koch brothers, and then, so that was the 1970s. So for the 1970s, the Libertarian Party sprung up in the United States. Today, it is actually the third largest political party in the United States of America. There's lots of academics commenting about whether libertarianism is going to become the new political movement within New Zealand. Again, following this American trend of what they do over there, we do over here. And then basically, then I turned around and I took you through the libertarians about what they got up to in the 1970s and the 1980s, which was largely hanging out with the CIA, snorting lots of cocaine, and basically triggering off coups in the Pacific region, including Fiji, Vanuatu, and Tonga. The libertarians through the Phoenix Foundation had lots of roles in the destabilization or the appearance of destabilization within the Pacific, which was largely driven by mining interests and the idea to bring the idea of the libertarian idea of freedom, which is kind of like capitalist anarchism, or the idea that we have rights, but only our rights, and we get really, really annoyed when other people start doing things that we don't want to do. So basically, it's kind of like the party for spoiled, narcissistic children, really. The libertarians sprung up in New Zealand, and they began with the Christchurch. In fact, it was in Christchurch in the 1980s, again, was we saw groups hanging around the Christchurch, sort of on the edge of the skinheads. People like the Minerva Security. I've got to clarify that Minerva Security were basically a private security company, lots of links to the National Party, lots of links to these anti-communist movements that were running around and being quite prolific in Christchurch, and it ended up with people like Carl Chapman, who founded the National Front, basically also being involved in that whole group of people. So you had this wonderful background of relatively right-wing chappies talking about words like freedom and democracy and hating communism. And what they meant by communism was anything that actually got in the way of them doing what they wanted to do, so they just slap a brand on, call it communism. Much like today, the neoliberalisms call everything outright. You know, if they don't like what you're doing, you become an outrighter. Well, back then, it was the same sort of attitude was that, effectively, it was that American attitude of, even if you didn't talk about absolutely embracing the almighty dollar, then you must be a communist, son. I got my eye on you real good. So we're talking about narcissistic spoiled children. The first Libertarian Party candidates actually included Stephen Birrell, who went on to become a future candidate for the ACT Party. Because again, when you start to look at the origins of libertarianism as it actually pops up in the New Zealand landscape of the early 90s, it's running pretty closely with the same kind of right-wing people that we, you know, associate with the colours blue and yellow. And of course, that was also when old Lindsay Perigo popped up on the scene. Again, all the libertarians in New Zealand were preaching the philosophy of Aaron Rand, who basically was a extreme right wing, more freedom, less government, which again is more freedom for us. The rest of you guys all have to put up the fact that we're going to build gold courses on X swamp land occupied by endangered pitigoos or whatever. But the point was the freedom was about what the right to do what they wanted, basically. And that was the Libertarian Party existed until about 2014 when it deregistered. Today, we get people like Calvin Arps who are pushing, and this is again associated with Counterspin, pushing this outright philosophy. He's pushing this concept of this allodial land claims, which he calls Freelander. And the Constitution of Freelander is actually word for word the exact constitution of the New Zealand Libertarian Party. In fact, Kelvin Upps pretty much admits that the philosophy of originally the RNZ party, which I had some involvement in, and I'll get into that in a second, but basically meant it was, you know, largely libertarian with some other stuff thrown in there. So what we were seeing in 1995 was also the birth of libertarianism recruitment within the university. So people like Vin Eastwood became very attracted towards the libertarian movement. And of course, his show was being promoted in New Zealand on the, I think it was the, I wouldn't even say the Voice of America or the Voice of Freedom. I'll come across it at some point. It'll pop up the exact station. But again, it tied into this whole Radio Free America radio stations that were actually sort of popping up at the end of the post-Cold War until now, which when you actually look behind them, had this libertarian ideology. And more often than not, some good old CIA buddies, you know, running shotgun on the peripheral. Interesting even again, because when you look at the Libertarian Party as logo, it's that same burning torch that we see on the coinage of the attempted coup that was launched by the Phoenix Foundation in Tonga in 1973. Libertarian coin on one side, Lady Minerva on the other side. So again, we're seeing this replication of the same symbolisms that we, you know, we associate with freedom and liberty. But when you actually sort of start to follow down the road, you actually find that you're hitting the Koch brothers. Speaking of which, in 2003, the Koch brothers, who had become by that stage disillusioned with the Republicans under President George Bush, which is slightly ironic considering, you know, how much George Bush was into oil, but they then turned around and they started creating these seminars, and they basically launched this full array of political party-like activities, including organizations that could operate in the states, mobilize grassroots activists, and used quote-unquote paid operatives. So around about 2011, actually, is when I started working with Vinnie Eastwood, and he was doing the Vinnie Eastwood show broadcast in New Zealand, pitching out to these American libertarian radio networks. And we were at that point, which is where the libertarians were basically targeting, we were basically at that point anti Five Eyes, anti the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, anti corporatization. So at this point, when libertarianism first entered the landscape, they were pitching to kind of what we would call, I don't like to use the word radical left, but it's they were pitching to the hippies, people that were ex-punk rockers whose politics were aligned with basically the old labor values of Kirk and Savage. And they were pitching to these people saying, oh, you know, what's going on? It's terrible, you know. Yeah, down with the corporations. But then we start to see this drift, and basically around about 2009 it begins, and it's the politics of these shows start to drift away from anti-corporatization, and then they start to talk about, oh, American, our rights to have guns, and then they start bringing and talking about critical race theory. And so what we start to see is the encroachment into these traditionally left-wing groups that were challenging the status quo. Now we're starting to see the emergence of right-wing rhetoric and right-wing politics actually slipping into these platforms. So, and I was a victim of that myself, because in 2011 or 2010-2011, RNZ popped up, which was actually founded by Kelvin Upps, the CEO of Counterspin. He advocated as and I didn't really know much, but I'd interviewed, correction, he'd appeared once in an article in Investigate magazine where Ian Wishart's basically, you read the paragraphs, it's making out like he's quoting me about what I think about Kelvin Upps, but actually, if you read it carefully, he can't. It's actually not quoting me, which he couldn't have done, because I had never even heard of Kelvin Upps until I packed up that magazine. So when Kelvin Upps arrived on the scene with RNZ, you know, first thing I said, well, you know, aren't you a former, you know, skinhead? And, you know, what about all this, you know, talk about violence and rhetoric? He said, oh, no, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, we've got to fight the system within. And I went, oh, you know, fair enough. People change their spots. I get it. And I was largely attracted to the constitutional basis of RNZ, because it did one thing different, which is the one thing it's done right, which really all the other parties need to get on board with. They want to really start saying that they're democratic. It was RNZ was advocating a party where the policy was actually set by the members. So you'd vote into the AGM, the policy would be decided, that policy would go to the caucus, and then that would be what the party would actually advance. What's actually happening now, of course, is that parties like Labour and the Green Party, I'm not so sure about National, I just assume it's the case. No, if you belong to the party, you've got no rights in shaping policy. That's actually decided by the caucus. And the caucus is largely these days made up of people that worked for the same law firms, the same accountancy firms, went to the same schools, worked for the same overseas international NGOs. So, and again, you know, you look at people like Chris Hipkins. You know, I'm not inferring anything like this, but Chris Hipkins is a former executive for Todd Shill. So suddenly you start to have the percentage for the Todd Shill narrative, or how they'd like things to be explained, to be actually argued at the caucus as opposed to the rest of the country. And this is the kind of the shift on the democracy, which is why RNZ appealed to so many people who are from that left-wing early 90s period, we felt like we didn't actually have a say. We felt we were alienated and being cut out of the process. Well, just like the wolves and the jackals, that's what the libertarian freedom sort of zoomed in on. RNZ has said, which is, you know, largely based on libertarian parties, founded by Calvin Arps, came to the scene. Within a year, I had resigned from the RNZ party, and I resigned because Calvin would start making comments about Jews on the page and start to make comments that made me sort of feel that his supposed claims to being anti-violence weren't as genuine as they were. And I resigned, and I put out a letter saying, well, you know, I'm not running with this party anymore because they don't represent my particular values. And it's clear to me that this isn't actually a party where we will decide the policy. This is basically the Calvin Arps party. And at the same time, you know, I also dropped from position because of being the marketer for RNZ, because that was what I'd actually been paid by Calvin Arps. And I go back to the key point here is that what I realised in hindsight now was that big interest influencers were starting to creep in with their checkbooks into that traditional kind of left-wing hippie group that had been felt like they were alienated and didn't have a say. And I pulled out because I went, hey, look, I'm not actually a checkbook journalist and I'm not a checkbook politician. I don't want anything to do with this. So that's 2011 is that we start to see that the change of this left-wing groups are starting to become more and more right. Vinny's starting to bring in a lot more people onto a show that are arguing critical race theory, gun control. But, you know, the change can be something that happens really, really subtly. So there were times when I was going to, you know, saying to Vinny, don't sound like Alex Jones. Don't appeal to this. This is appealing to the lowest common denominator. And now in hindsight, I kind of realise that's actually where Vinny's actual attention was. That's what he saw was his big mess was this particular view who would regurgitate all these things where people knew that something wasn't right and he was offering them simple solutions, which suddenly became very, very attractive. And again, through the powers of multimedia, which again, when we turn around and we look at the rise of the, you know, a lot of people talked about the Phoenix Foundation and they're saying, well, that same sort of libertarian anarchist is back on the rise, but this time it's all associated with the crypto and the tech lords. And, I can pretty much concur in saying that when we start to look at the what's driving things like the Brexit and the Cambridge Analytics, which we've seen brought into New Zealand via Winston Peters in the last election, what we start to see is we start to look at firms like and companies that were present when I've talked about the during 2020, all the billionaire boats that were tied up at the viaduct. And so you had boats that were linked in with Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is known to be affiliated with the libertarian parties. You've got Elon Musk with Starlink, again, affiliated with the libertarian parties. Basically, you started even looking at Michael Hill, who's in that little group of boats. He's turned up to Voices of Freedom seminars since then, which again is a very loose, I admit that, tenuously again has a lineage with libertarian parties. Peter Thiel from Queenstown, who owns the guy that got the $1 million residency under the national government, they said, yeah, you pay $1 million, you can become an instant millionaire in New Zealand. He's another libertarian. So these are these tech companies that started to turn up in New Zealand, saturated with massive amounts of money, which started to pour into our social media, and our social media systems started to be the algorithms were deciding who was actually being heard on these platforms. And suddenly all the groups that were devoted to things like the TPPA or challenging the Five Eyes network, they were being taken over by these groups that were largely starting to preach move away from the left-wing philosophy and start to preach this outright and load it with words like freedom, which, as I've just traced you back through the last show and this particular show as well, actually has some very is affiliated with people that have some very terrible human rights records. So that was all around about the 2010 and 2011. Of course, that 2010 is at the same time we're seeing the same things actually happening in America, and it starts off with the Tea Party. And the Tea Party, of course, is funded by the Koch brothers. David Koch was a president of the Libertarian Party, and they basically were funding the Libertarian Party all the way up to the current day. In New Zealand, we start to see parties pop up again with this influence. We've got the RNZ party, which I've already explained the history of how that links into that kind of libertarian movement. We have got the Outdoors Party with Sue Gray. And of course, now we find out, according to, I want to say Sean Norbert, who's the station radio manager for Radio 1, points out that the social media is run for Outdoors Party by no less than Cal Chapman. So, you know, guys, we talk about the neoliberalism likes to make everything outright, and they want to paint everything as a Nazi. And they want to say that everybody at the protest was a Nazi. And we all know that anybody that went there, the 60,000 meals that were pumped through there, they weren't all Nazis, but they were there. And let's not deny it. Let's not have cognitive dissonance about this. If you vote for a party like the Outdoors Party, with its basic philosophy and orientation, which is, you know, I've just explained to you the shift of what they're trying to do, hearts and minds, but then you can find someone like Carl Chapman, who's, according to Sean Norbert from Radio 1, basically running their social media. So, you know, this guy is a hardcore National Front person, just like Calvin Alps was. So there is such a thing as getting frustrated because you keep going, getting caught outright. But then there's also a thing of recognising that that's because of people like this. And if you chose to stand next to them, you can go to the same protest. But if you suddenly start getting that same person to hold your backpack and hold your sign, that's a whole different kettle of fish. And that's what I'm basically asking you to think about. Okay, we all know, or many of us feel, that we're being disenfranchised and alienated by this corporate globalism, which really is out to kind of have everything it can, but that doesn't give you an excuse to turn around and suddenly start embracing the repugnant ideologies of basically your opponents. So I just ask you to be a little bit wary when you're thinking about, hear people hear the words freedom, what does it actually mean? On my post on this, on the Shipping News, I also go into some of the interesting links to libertarianism and the Christchurch shooting, but you can go to the website and check that out yourself. And that so takes us up to the 2019, which again, you've got, that's again, it's probably, I should go back to the Christchurch shooting, because the other thing for me is that Christchurch shooting was a big moment in New Zealand. It's the first time that anything like that since the Rainbow Warrior has actually happened in New Zealand. And when it happened, Vinnie Eastwood rang me up and said, hey, why don't we come down and cover this event? And, I went, yeah, cool. I've done lots of work with Vinnie. I still enjoy working for him. And the first thing he says to me on the phone is, oh, when we get to the airport, Calvin Alps is going to be there and he's going to meet us and he's going to take us away to a party to have cake. And I think that's the moment that the balloon went off in my head. I'm thinking, we're going down to Christchurch to cover a mass shooting, and you think that this is a reason to go and have cake? And that was, but before I even had time to crystallize that thought, my first thought to Vinny was, Vinny, Calvin Alps, there's no way I want to be seen anywhere near that guy. And I'd already told him on social media, go away, you're not welcome. If you're going to run with people like Calvin Alps, you're committing suicide, Vinny. This is going to be the end of your platform. And he was like, oh, no, it must have been a different Calvin Alps. I must have got confused. That was the end of the matter, except for when we started doing the radio show, Vinnie turned up with nearly $8,000 worth of brand new equipment, a wallet full of absolute cash. And I asked him, well, where did that money come from? Was that involved from Calvin Alps? And he got very, very squirrely. Later on, he denied and made a big deal I never met Calvin Alps. Actually, Calvin said the same thing. But at one point, Vinnie forgot what he said and he texted, I was going to meet Calvin Alps, but he wasn't able to make it. Confirming that what I'd actually originally said was actually correct. So I became that point. I said, Vinny, we're not going to be working together anymore because it's not even your politics, but if I can't trust you, I'm not going to have a working relationship with you. End of story. And that was pretty much when I fired Vinny Eastwood. And that's how it went down. But the next thing was Vinny then pops up and he's dealing with the New Zealand NZPP party, which again draws very much from this cargo cultism, libertarianism throughout the Pacific. And, from that point, I turned around and I said to Vinny, because Vinny, the New Zealand Public NZPP, the 2IC, well, that was Michael Stace, a former American intelligence officer. Again, a very common feature of that libertarianism within the Pacific, advocating largely libertarian ideologies. And pretty much I sort of said, well, hey, what's the deal here? Are you taking money from these people, Vinny, to promote their show? Which is totally fine, but you need to disclose it, and that's a requirement of the electoral. And so Vinny had to come clean, and that's going, I burst that bubble. Yes, I'm taking $1,000 a month from the NZPP. So we start to see again, this alternative independent media platform wasn't actually that independent at all. And at the end of the day, when these people cry in freedom, what they're really calling about is, hey, I'm getting paid to promote this particular version of this freedom and liberty that these guys want, that come from large American corporations funded by the oil industry with people that have very, very close links to the Nazi Party. So on that note, I think I'll leave you to think about what freedom really, really means. And it doesn't mean, by the way, voices of freedom. I don't believe that everybody in the voice of freedom is a Nazi. What I mean is, there are lots of people who are affiliated with the Voice of Freedom and they're not necessarily aware of the money and the influence that is shaping it from outside. And when people, films like Fire and Fury, make the promise to say to you, oh, we're going to expose where the money comes from, Well, front up and do it, because so far I'm the only person in this country that's done it. The disinformation experts keep actually swiping my information without actually showing you where the money's coming from, and I think that's pretty strange too. So, you know, and as I make the point beforehand, like, it's not that everybody that's associated with these particular parties, whether it's the Libertarians or the Voices of Freedom, are hard alt-right, but I think what a lot of them are people who are involved or leaning towards the people that have branding this is they're not aware of what their financial ties are. They're not aware of the political history and origins of the libertarian influence in the Pacific, which has largely been a very violent, destabilizing, and really not the kind of politics you want to allow. You know, the thing about New Zealand, why our politics has always worked, is that we actually have this ability to kind of go, okay, you vote for the National Party, but I'll see you down at the cricket patch on Saturday, or you vote for the Labour Party and let's still go and have a drink. Libertarianism is, and it's, they're not the only ones, this field of the disinformation experts, the ideology, which is to me neoliberalism, it's like fake wokeism, they're driving people towards polarisation so that people get really angry and think there can only be this or that. And they don't think, well, you know what? And I don't, by the way, I don't necessarily 100% believe this, but I sort of think, oh, you know, I kind of like a, and I'm talking old politics, I'm not talking about the politics we have today, but, you know, I kind of like a government which is socially and values-wise Labour, but I kind of like a party when it comes to actually running the industry of the country that's maybe a little bit aligned to National. I don't want the whole party to be Labour, and I don't want the whole party to be National, but if I can get a mix that kind of represents all the people in the room, we've got a democracy. Unfortunately, this kind of libertarianism and this fake wokeism pretty much wants to go my way or the highway, and the only result that you end up with that, which is shown in literally, I have a degree in political science studying political violence. I can't name you a political movement around the world where that's occurred that it hasn't descended into nothing but violence, and when the country ultimately ends up being far the worst. So, you know, those are the things that I pretty much will take out of this whole kind of situation. And also, I mean, you look at the United States, the libertarian, you know, it's just give an example, it's not necessarily black and white. I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek because this is just like you can't make this stuff up. So this is USA Libertarian Adrian Wild, chairman of the Florida Libertarian Party, who's resigned in 2019 because the party had basically elected to support a rival who supported eugenics and Satanism worship. Quotes, he sadistically dismembered a goat in a ritual sacrifice. The candidate in question goes by the name Augustus Sol Invictus, and he was a headline speaker at the United Rights Rally in Charlottesville. I actually have a picture of this guy standing next to the Vinelanders, which are a neo-Nazi movement. So again, that Vineland, origins of Vine, Libertarius. So the Vine is just now like Minerva. It's a reference to the Roman system of the Republic. And that's again what libertarianism ultimately wants, why it's actually quite closely aligned to the neoliberal fake wokeism, is that they both want republicanism, which basically breaks up the constitutional platform which New Zealand's based upon, and then in turn seriously undermines things like the Treaty of Waitangi. What it also basically does is it takes away the definition of human rights. So under our Westminster system, we have human rights which are inalienable. Under the Republican system, which would actually be more aligned with the New York Accords, which again, if you look at libertarianism throughout the Pacific, it's always moved towards the UN to get recognition for the UN, so it's very much affiliated with that, but it's at New York Accords, which create an entire, you know, all this NAFTA, TPPA, operate on the New York Accords with a definition of human rights, which basically is decided by the corporate body or the, you know, centralized body. So again, fake wokeism, libertarianism, they might seem like they're actually opposed to each other, but they're kind of rowing, ironically, in the same kind of direction, which is going to really upset the disinformation people at Fire and Fury. Anyway, but back to our good friend. So the guy that he was opposed to is this particular chap called Sol Invictus, who the name means the Invisible Sun Emperor. Invictus 32 is an adherent of a religious called Thelema, led in the early 1900s by occultist Alistair Crowley of the Golden Dawn. Invictus was expelled from a religious fraternal organization, Ordo Templus Orientis, for denying Wiley's specific claims. Dot Wiley denies that he dismembered a goat, but he does admit that he was expelled from the order for political reasons. An animal, yes, animal sacrifice was part of it. What more can you say? I mean, this guy is so bad that the opposition and the libertarians actually approached Trump and said, would you run for us? Because, you know, we'd rather have you than this particular guy. So, you know, libertarians not black and white. But what is interesting, jokes aside, is that that organization, the Golden Dawn Ordo Templus, which is a, you know, Satanist, basically, a old world paganism, that's pretty much what you get people like neo-Nazis, like Kerry Bolton, was into in the early 90s when he was running around recruiting people. Like, for example, Bolton was the secretary for the National Front, which is, you remember, that's the party tied up with Nazi Carl Chapman and fellow members Kelvin Alps. So again, I mention all of this to make this point that a lot of the people in the freedom movement now are very much against anti-Satanism, and they stand for Christian rights, which I personally don't actually have a problem with the idea that people have religion or spiritual belief. But what I do find a bit funny is that they say this is their stance while they're actually leaning towards an alternative media platform, which is based from a party which has its roots in these things which supposedly they're opposed to. And look, literally, I can't make this up. It's not about what I believe. It's about go and actually look at the information. This is the pedigree and history of these particular people. And again, you know, the references that I put you to that on my website, pay the footnote to, you know, I make full claims to that on my website, and all the references and footnotes are there to explain it. Anything that I haven't expanded upon, you'll find the clarity upon that on my website. And we start to see that kind of libertarianism movement start to move into New Zealand. We start to see the same people that are actually involved in it, they're actually popping up in New Zealand area and the Pacific, trying to push for their own version of a capitalist anarchist future. And so next time you hear someone saying freedom, just have a little think about what that word means. And I think today we'll go out with Janis Joplin, Freedom's Just Another Word For.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. They rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold. One day up near Selena Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I train all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy alone when he sang the blues, hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. La-da-da, 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 Bobby, yeah. La-da-da, 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 Bobby. Call him my lover, call him my man. I said I call him my lover.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.